This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com. This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August, and today on the show, we are going to be talking about sex toys and vibrators. And we are talking to one of my favorite people in the world, Joni Blank.
A lot of women who, particularly those women who have difficulty getting aroused or especially having an orgasm even though they can get aroused easily, find that a vibrator gives a certain kind of stimulation that they themselves with their hand or their partner cannot possibly give them. It moves a whole lot faster and it has a lot of endurance. It can last for a really long time as long as you keep it plugged in or have fresh batteries. Let's say a woman typically uses her fingers and it takes her maybe 10 minutes to get aroused and have an orgasm. Well, then she uses a vibrator and all of a sudden she can do it in 45 seconds if she's really in a hurry. And the stimulation is very intense and her orgasm usually comes much faster than it did when she used running water or her partner's hand for that matter or her hand. Men do use vibrators. The biggest concern that men have about vibrators is that it'll turn them into a gay man or a woman, and certainly not to use them anally, which is a common way that men like to use vibrators. Hopefully not insertable vibrators, because most of them are dangerous to use anally. A cylindrical type vibrator can easily get stuck, and that's not a good thing.
Joni is the founder, one of the founders, of Good Vibrations. It's a store in San Francisco that I believe it was the first woman-oriented, sex-positive sex toy store, maybe ever, certainly on the West Coast. She founded it in 1977. Joni also works as a co-housing activist. She's very actively involved in building more co-housing communities. But to the point of our show here, Joni talks to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people every year about sex toys. She's also, by the way, one of the very first volunteers at the San Francisco Sex Information Hotline way back in the mid-70s. She's the author of the Good Vibrations, The Complete Guide to Vibrators, and she's just a font of information about sex toys and vibrators and how to bring those things into your life. Welcome to the show, Joni Blank.
Thank you so much, Chip.
So I'm really happy to have you here, and I really want to just kind of dive right into this subject. Why do normal, everyday, happily married people, why would they even be interested in this subject of vibrators?
Well, they might not. I would hope that people who've never used a vibrator or tried a vibrator might consider trying one after this show. But not everybody likes vibrators, and I would never claim that everybody did. I would hope that everybody would at least give them an opportunity to show what fun they are, and if they don't find them fun, then they won't use them anymore, right?
Mm-hmm. So what's fun about a vibrator?
Well, specifically for women, a lot of women who, particularly those women who have difficulty getting aroused or especially having an orgasm even though they can get aroused easily, find that a vibrator gives a certain kind of stimulation that they themselves with their hand or their partner cannot possibly give them. It goes, it moves a whole lot faster. It's so fast it's just vibrating. And it has a lot of endurance. It can last for a really long time as long as you keep it plugged in or have fresh batteries.
Okay. And when did you first discover vibrators?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I'm not sure that I can remember that.
Well,
I can say it was rather late in my life.
Okay.
And it was long after I had started having sexual intercourse, which was kind of late. I guess considering my age, it wasn't that late. But I think I had intercourse for the first time when I was almost 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, my very first partner showed me how to stimulate myself so that I could have an orgasm. orgasm, which I am eternally grateful for him. For some reason, I had never discovered that myself. I'm not quite sure why. And I had been using my hand to masturbate for many years and running water. And then somehow or other, I bought a large... large-headed massage vibrator, specifically for massage, because I have really tense tension between my shoulder blades, and it just occurred to me to try it on my clitoris, and guess what? It worked fine.
whole new world opened.
A whole new world opened up, and I've been a vibrator enthusiast ever since.
So you really are one of those people that actually tried it on your shoulders and tried it on your neck before you actually used it anywhere sexually.
That's quite true.
Cool.
That's quite true. And then my ex-husband and I, we were great inveterate garage sale and flea market shoppers, and we started collecting old and a few antique and some just plain old vibrators. And that's why I actually had to open the store at the first, because I had all these old vibrators in a suitcase under our bed, and I thought it would be kind of fun to show people.
Mm-hmm.
So half of the display space in the first store was taken up with antique vibrators.
So let's talk for a moment about the store. Just I want to talk much more about vibrators and personal stuff, but just a moment about
sure.
the store here. That's a pretty big leap in the 70s to open up a sex toy store. How does one, you know, my experience of sex toy stores are they're kind of a little sleazy. How does
mm-hmm.
one make a sex-positive sex toy store?
Well, I was working in the sex counseling program at UCSF, University of California, mm-hmm. San Francisco, which is a medical center.
Mm-hmm.
And the sex counseling program there was working with women who had never had orgasm with mm-hmm. any means, by themselves or with a partner. Most women, we were working with them in groups and encouraging them at home, of course, to look in the mirror at themselves first, look at their genitals, and then start stimulating themselves with their hands. And some women started doing that and still had a really, really hard time getting quite over the top to an orgasm. So we recommended that they try vibrators, and the only place to buy them were these sleazy shops that you're talking about, or sometimes the back of a women's magazine where the woman is shown holding this plastic battery-operated vibrator up against her cheek. Like, and as I said in my little book years ago, how on earth anybody ever had an orgasm holding it there? Beats me. But I just decided that there should be a place where women could shop for sex toys that didn't have vibrators and other kinds of sexual paraphernalia without having to deal with the usual marketplace, which was directed, you're right, towards men. And even then, kind of, a lot of men didn't like those stores either. There was at the time one place that was ended up being similar to Good Vibrations, but it was mail order only, and that was Eve's Garden in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you're right, Good Vibrations was really the first in the country that was actually a retail store. And it was still only one of two, Eve's Garden being the other.
Yeah, yeah. We'll give a shout out to Del Williams and for the great work she did with Eve's Garden, which
Indeed.
Is certainly in the same vein. So
that's what gave me the idea. Was
cool,
Del.
Cool, terrific. So let's talk about let's talk about women for a moment here. The whole idea of even trying this. For women who love their vibrators, they already know they love their vibrator. My partner and I, her vibrator is actually starting to wear out. She's gotten good life out of it, but it's starting to wear out. And we were actually shopping, you know, and I just noticed how, like, attached she is to getting exactly that same vibrator. You know, this works.
It must be a Hitachi magic wand.
Of course. Of course. It's a Hitachi magic wand. Okay. And
I'm on my third one, but not because they any have worn out. I've just loaned them to people, and they never came back.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well. Well, one of them got lost to a relative who seemed to be borrowing it surreptitiously. So, but in any event, we were shopping, and I was noticing, like, you know, her concern is, well, what if I try something and I don't like it? You know, like, and they were talking about, you know, getting money back and, you know, and switching things and all that kind of stuff. But how does one start in this? How do you pick a vibrator as a woman?
Well, I actually encourage women, and men for that matter, who are shopping either for themselves or for a woman, to buy something very inexpensive, probably even battery-operated, just to, if they've never used a vibrator before, even though most of those battery-operated vibrators, some of them are shaped like little eggs, or some of them are sort of cylindrical-shaped, sort of dildo-ish, but not really dildos. And they're not, even though men often assume that women use them internally, most women use them externally on their clitorises.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't matter what it was designed for, just to get the sensation of a vibrator against your clitoris. For some women, it seems like unfortunate to, you know, invest $40 or $50 or more in a plug-in vibrator when they can learn what it feels like with a really cheapy, you know, throwaway vibrator.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I suggest that. Other times I suggest that people will just go for a good plug-in vibrator, not necessarily a wand type. Sometimes the kind that looks more like a hairbrush, I would guess, to describe it, with multiple attachments. Sometimes those are better for some people because they're very, very quiet. They're silent. They don't have any moving parts in their electrical parts in them. So they're very, very quiet. And for people who are nervous about, you know, thin walls or even having their partner here when they're not don't want them to, and they happen to be in the house at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, just go for one of those stronger plug-in vibrators, and at first use it through a folded-up towel or through your hand, putting the vibrator on the back of your hand and letting your fingers touch yourself. So that, you know, I would think that would be the better way to go until they find out whether they want the more intense sensation right against their genitals.
So I love that idea that you touch yourself the way you usually touch yourself, but place a vibrator against the hand that's touching you and just notice if you like that sensation.
Right. And that's a really nice thing to do if a person is introducing a vibrator to their partner, to do it through their hand first, or through a folded-up towel or sheet or a lightweight pillow or something, just to get the sense, if they're nervous about it, how it would feel directly on them at first. You can use it through the partner's hand, too.
That's a terrific idea. I want to talk a little bit about vibrators and partners in a moment, but I want to take a break. So we're talking to Joni Blank. Joni's an expert on sex toys and vibrators. She's written a wonderful book, The Good Vibrations, The Complete Guide to Vibrators, and you're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I want to say as we go to this break that listeners, if you go to the website, personallifemedia.com, and look at my episode pages, there are links to audible.com, to ice.com, and there are all kinds of products that you can get online that you can get a discount for just for listening to this show. Where it asks for a promo code, use the word love, L-O-V-E, and you'll get a 20% discount at Audible, you'll get a 20% discount at ice.com. My wife actually took my daughter on the ice.com site to pick out a Father's Day gift for me this year, and she saved some money. I got a really nice gift. You can do the same. So please listen to the spots, and you might want to also check the website for good deals. We'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from PersonalLifeMedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Back. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. Today we're talking to Joni Blank, and we're talking about sex toys and vibrators. As we went to the break, Joni, you mentioned something about one way to introduce a vibrator into sex play is for the lover, for your lover to actually just place the vibrator on their own hand in the way that they normally touch you and just notice if you like that sensation. And that just brings me to the whole question about lovers and vibrators. I hear frequently men are pretty jealous of vibrators. Do you also hear that?
I've heard it, but I've rarely heard it expressed. I mean, if they're that jealous of vibrators, they're going to try to avoid having their partner have one or use one, or they're going to be very negative about it.
Yeah, that's kind of
what they're
I
not
heard.
Going to want to know about it, and there's not really any way that I'd ever find out about it, because those are the people who don't shop at Good Vibrations.
Of course,
so from a scientific point of view, I have to say that it's something that is often raised, but we don't have any evidence of it. And this is one of the reasons why in the olden days, I haven't worked at the store for a number of years, but in the olden days when a man would come in and say he wanted a vibrator for his partner, it was like he wanted it, but he wanted to be in control of it. and that way he could be sure that his partner, you know, or he wanted it for his partner to use when he was out of town, mm-hmm. but only when he was out of town.
Mm-hmm.
we often turned people away and said, please either take the catalog, go home and talk it over with your partner, and then come back, or call us up and make a mail order, or actually, bring her into the store if she's willing to come, and then we would talk to them both as a couple, and if that happened, and that kind of took away this kind of like this vibrator is designed to come between you, and going to threaten your relationship and all that kind of stuff. And the other thing to do is to point out to men that there's no way a vibrator can. A vibrator may actually be used to help with arousal and trigger orgasm, but there's no way a partner in a I think Betty Dodson said it best. She said a vibrator never put its arms around me and told me I loved it. It loved me, and it's so not a relationship thing.
Right.
I didn't say that very well, but
I think you said it just fine, actually.
Yeah. It's a mechanical device that can enhance a relationship, but it doesn't replace a relationship. You know, somebody called me once when I was on a radio show many years ago, and called in and said, "It's so mechanical," and I thought, it's electronic and so mechanical. And I said, and what is that thing you have in your hand while you're calling me on the telephone? Like, if you really wanted to talk to me in the studio today and you didn't have something mechanical to help you, you'd have to run over here or you'd have to shout really, really loud. And since you have a telephone, that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And we were on the radio. I said you wouldn't have even heard me talking if you hadn't had a radio. He was using two pieces of mechanical things to communicate better, and that's kind of what the vibrator can do.
Yeah, I don't want to argue, but that's a little facile. Yes, it's true. When I'm trying to have communication over long distance, I want mechanical devices. Now, when I'm trying to communicate over the distance of the millimeters that separate our body while we're lying in the same bed, and the method of communication I've used up until now has been kisses and caresses and strokes, and now you've added this extra element. I really do get that it's not just so simple as I'm a Luddite. I don't want technology.
Right.
It's the fear, you know, I want technology in my phone. I don't know if I want technology in my bed.
I'm glad you raised that, Chip, because you're absolutely right in that sense. It's a really bad metaphor.
Right.
However, it's also true, just like you described, you know, the kisses and the words and the stroking and the touching of any single part of my body besides my clitoris is still up for grabs.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're grabbing a lot. And, for example, I'll be very explicit about this. For example, I'm quite devoted to my vibrator. I'm not orgasmic with intercourse, as many women are not. Perhaps two-thirds of women are not orgasmic with intercourse only. And I really enjoy, I can easily have orgasms with oral sex on me. And I also can, one of my most common ways of enjoying making sure that I have an orgasm is to have a vibrator, which I put pressing against my clitoris, and I really like it if my partner has his fingers or his penis in my vagina at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the thing that when men come to me and say, I think my partner loves her vibrator more than she loves me, the thing we need to talk about is specific mechanical aids that that encourage arousal versus that I believe every human being's biggest erogenous zone is that big gray matter between their ears.
Mm-hmm.
That what arouses my partner is not the Hitachi magic wand. The Hitachi magic wand does something for her body. I'm doing something with our emotions and with our connection and with our intimacy, which the Hitachi can enhance, but it cannot substitute for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's hard for some people.
It is difficult for some people. I acknowledge that for sure.
I think
the more the couple can talk about that and express that, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And anything those of us who are, in the field can do to encourage that and help that and support that. That's where it's at.
Now, when I was a young, horny man, I think I had the belief that once a woman learned to come with a vibrator, she would never, ever be able to come without one. That it's something that it taught your body, and that this is what was so, you know, this is what was really wrong with it, was that once you came that way, you could never come any other way. Is that true?
I'd like to respond to it and say that it's not true, but before I do, I want to say that I think the real threat behind that is she'll not only never be able to come any other way, is that it's now easy for her to come without me. And she won't need me anymore. So I think it's very focused on what happens if she, you know, it's another
Yeah, there was
person.
Probably, there, definitely, given how old I was when I first heard that story, yeah, I'm sure there was some ego in there, which was sort of like, oh my God, I'm being replaced by this tool. Yeah.
Well,
which,
don't think it has much to do with your youth or your hormones. I think that would be true for significantly older people too. However, my response is this, and I prefer to use the masturbation experience rather than sex partners, because some people are concerned about that. Even if they don't have a partner, they don't have any prospects of a partner, and their only experience is with the vibrator, they're worried that they will not be able to come using their hand anymore. another way of actually, there's another piece I want to mention before that, and that is that a lot of these men who feel this way or are concerned about this are also men who think that once she learns to come with her vibrator, she'll never learn to come with intercourse by itself, and she may never learn that anyway. So that's a really hard lesson for a lot of young horny men, not encouraged by porn, at least old porn, which basically said that's the way women come. And if a woman doesn't come that way, something's wrong with her.
Pretty current porn also. I want to pause just for a second on this, not to take a break. I just want to say this whole idea of valuing that if you have your orgasm when my penis is stimulating you, that is a better orgasm somehow or other than if you have your orgasm when my fingers are stimulating you and you're using a vibrator, or my penis is in you and you're using a vibrator, somehow diminishes the orgasm. All of that I find an amazingly foolish mental trap. You know, like I notice that what I want from my partner is that she really, really enjoys sex with me, and that what I want is that I really, really enjoy sex with her. And if I make it a requirement that we can't use any toys to make it better, then I'm really limiting how much fun we have. And once I agree we can use toys to make it better, I really encourage men to stop for a moment and think about this. Like, so if she likes using her vibrator and she's having great sex with you and she's having screaming orgasms, wasn't that the point?
Wasn't
that kind of what you set out to do?
Unfortunately, I think that, I almost hate to say this because it may be misinterpreted, but I think that actually it's a reproductive bias that says that women should have their maximum sexual pleasure with whatever it is likely to most impregnate them, and that's intercourse. So I think that it's not surprising that we have this biological urge, which encourages it encourages male pleasure, right, obviously, and secondarily, now that we've become feminists, we're insisting on women having pleasure too, but up until the point where it mattered whether women had pleasure, it just sort of wasn't important that a lot of women didn't come with orgasm, with intercourse, excuse me. And now that we recognize that it is important for women to have pleasure, the biology hasn't changed, the rules have.
Right.
A societal thing has. Let me get back, though, to the question about once you use a vibrator, you won't be able to come any other way. What happens is that, let's say a woman typically uses her fingers, hopefully with some lubrication, either saliva or some artificial, I hate to use that term, some other lubrication, and it takes her maybe 10 minutes to get aroused and have an orgasm. Well, then she uses a vibrator, and all of a sudden she can do it in 45 seconds if she's really in a hurry.
Right.
and the stimulation is very intense, and her orgasm usually comes much faster than it did when she used running water or her partner's hand, for that matter, or her hand. for a clitoral stimulation. So what happens is women who use a vibrator sometimes will go back to using their hands, and at first their clitoris, they'll say their clitoris feels a little bit numb, even mm-hmm. if, you know, I'm not talking about right after orgasm, I'm talking about the next day.
Right.
And yes, you're giving it much less lighter stimulation than the vibrator does. So by comparison, it's not you're not going to get as much sensation because mm-hmm. you're not getting as much sensation.
Right.
So some women will try that again, their hand or their and guess what? They don't come in 10 minutes, in 5 minutes, in 2 minutes, or 3 minutes, or 5 minutes. It still takes them 10, maybe even the first few times it'll take them 15 or 20 minutes because they've gotten accustomed to the other kind. That doesn't mean that they're quote addicted. And if people can relax around that, and if a woman can relax around that and just pay attention to how aroused she does feel and not trying really hard to get more aroused, typically it'll come back after a few times.
Oh, that's great. We need to pause and take a break here. So I'm having a great time. I got lots more questions. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. We're talking to Joni Blank, who's an expert on sex toys and vibrators. As we go to this break, I just want to remind my audience, if you like what you're hearing here, if you're interested, if you notice you want to send this to your friends, just know that every one of our shows, we make a complete transcript of. And so if you'll go to personallifemedia.com and go to my show, Sex, Love, and Intimacy. On each episode, you'll find a transcript. You may want to cut and paste things that caught your attention and send them to friends. You may just want to send a link to people so that they get to listen to this. It's one of the ways the show grows, and it's one of the ways you get to help spread some of this really good information. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, Life in an Orgasm-Based Community, a weekly online audio program where orgasmic innovators share the intricacies of their practice on personallifemedia.com.
Back to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. I'm talking to Joni Blank. Joni is an expert on sex toys and vibrators, and we've been having a wonderful conversation about vibrators and toys and how to use them and do they hurt you and do they help. One thing that I know I notice hardly ever gets talked about, although I'm in the business of sexology, so I hear about it probably more than anybody else does, is men and sex toys. Do men use vibrators?
You know, it's interesting. I don't believe the book ever came out, but Good Vibrations was planning to publish a book called The Good Vibrations Guide to Toys for Boys.
Mm.
And I know that it got written. Apparently, it never was published. But men do use vibrators and the biggest and other kinds of sex toys. The biggest the biggest concern that men have about vibrators is using vibrators for themselves is that it'll turn them into a gay man or a woman. That only women, you know, it's
right.
a girly thing.
Right.
And
right.
It's so,
somehow it's not manly to like this.
Right.
Yeah.
To even experiment with it. And certainly not to use them anally, which is a common way that men like to use vibrators.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, hopefully not insertable vibrators, because most of them are dangerous to use anally. But
Wait. Say more about that.
Well, a cylindrical type vibrator can easily get... depending on how careful one is with it. I mean, if you're holding on to it with your fist and you're not going to lose it, it's nothing wrong with inserting it a little way into the anus. But there are men who will put things in that it's amazing to men what large things can go in there, and then they get stuck, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah,
so
that's why I wanted you to say more about it, because I want to say to men, devices for anal play usually have a very flared or wide ending that your hand uses so that it cannot slip into your anus. anus and get stuck. If something does get stuck, men or women, if something gets stuck inside you, please go seek medical attention. I know it's embarrassing, but you just go to a doctor or a clinic. They remove it. It's not a really big deal, but left inside, it's a really big deal. And just hoping somehow or other your body will automatically force it out is a bad plan. So it's just my health concern for my listeners. If you're playing and you're new to this, use anal toys for anal. They usually have a big end for your hand,
base,
so they can't flip in, you know? Yeah. Thank you.
They actually have a really wide flared base, and you can actually let go of them once they're in, and the anal sphincter closes around the narrow place, and then they get really, they have a flange at the bottom.
But some people will use, for instance, a dildo that has sort of a bulbous end at the end of your hand. There are all kinds of toys that you can use in all kinds of orifices, but just don't use the ones that can get lost up in there, kind of the point.
So the issue of anal use of vibrators or just plain objects, any object or things that are specifically designed as dildos that either do or don't look like penises, is sort of a different question than the experience for men to use a vibrator on their penis.
And which is really what I was actually asking about, but I was glad that we took this detour. So
I figured you were, but you know, a lot of men assume that since they assume that the cylindrical shaped vibrators for women are used internally in and out in the vagina, they assume that that's what, but you know, since they don't have a vagina, they assume that that's where it's going to go.
Right.
So it's really important to raise that issue. I can speak a little bit from my own experience of introducing men to vibrators, and I've had the opportunity to do that several times. And what I've discovered is that for many men, at least the very first time, and I'm talking about using a big Hitachi because that's what I've got, if we're at my place, that's what's available. it mostly has to do with holding their penis with my hand in a way that's comfortable to them and putting the vibrator on my hand, on the back of my hand, because some men, believe it or not, find the intensity of a vibrator, many men find the intensity of a vibrator directly on their penis too strong, even if it's at the base of the penis, not too near the scrotum, so it's not getting there, but it's not getting anywhere near the head of the penis, which is very sensitive, most sensitive, of course. So, just basically running my hand back and forth on the man's penis with the vibrator, either on my wrist or on the little soft space between your thumb and your forefinger, that's a better, more comfortable place for you, because for the woman who's holding it, because if it's on the back of your hand, it's kind of bony there, and vibration might not feel too good to you. It usually is extremely effective, can I say that? And most men who've tried it have really liked it. I know from at least two cases of men who've told me that now that they've been introduced to vibrators, they have one at home and they use it, not always, but occasionally for masturbation. It's interesting. Men, we know something interesting about men and masturbation and women and masturbation. Women will usually find a way that holding the vibrator or rubbing with their hand works really well, but they often are a little more flexible in terms of what they can learn to like on their clitoris. Men tend to be very, very, focused and set on the way that they first started to masturbate when they were 12 or 13 or 14 or 15. And there are some men for whom if their normal hand is injured, they literally cannot get off using their other hand. I don't know how consistent that is. I think in this day and age, probably men are a little more adventurous and are willing to try other things.
I wanted to say a moment to men. Okay, so men, if you're hearing this and you never thought about using a vibrator, I hope this is opening up a whole avenue. Women, if you have a man partner and you know you're thinking, gee, what can I get this person for their next birthday? There are all kinds of toys that are designed for men. To vibrate men. And a great thing to do is actually go. There are several good websites and places you can go to shop and try things, and you'd be amazed that you can introduce a whole new area into your partner's life. So, Joni, you're doing terrific here, and I'm just curious, if people wanted more information about this, or they wanted to talk to you about this, or they wanted to know where to go shopping or any of that, can you give people some advice here on how to reach you and how to read your book and that kind of stuff?
Sure. My book is unfortunately out of print, and as far as I know, the only copies left are several hundred that the store Good Vibrations still has, and that can you can reach that on the web at www.goodvibes.com, GOODVIBES.com. Mm-hmm. And I believe they still have a couple hundred copies of the book. I am seeking a new publisher for this book. I'm kind of hoping I don't find one because then I have to revise it. And I don't feel like doing all that editing work. But so I read it over not too long ago, and most of the advice in there is still pretty sound, and it doesn't have to do with newfangled kinds of vibrators that have been invented since the last time I wrote it. I mean, human anatomy hasn't changed that much, and human sexual response hasn't changed that much. So the stuff, a lot of the stuff still applies, as well as relationship stuff still applies. Although, I have to say, since Sex and the City, people have, in fact, that's had an enormous effect on people and their ability and willingness to talk about sex, which is a good thing. As far as contacting me is concerned, I'd be happy to give my email address and people can write to me. It's Joani, spelled without an E, that's J-O-A-N-I, at swansway.com. This is like the bird, the swan, S-W-A-N-S-W-A-Y.com.
I didn't think of the bird, I thought of the Proust novel. But okay.
Well, Proust had two N's.
Ah, that's true.
And I live in a co-housing community called Swans Market Co-Housing.
Oh, there
so
we
that's
go.
Why we have that domain name.
Makes perfect sense.
Yes.
So I want to thank you. I think you're a terrific guest. Before we wrap up this interview, I like to ask my guests, is there an exercise, is there a thing that people can do at home to improve the love, intimacy, and sexuality in their life? You got a suggestion?
Well, I'd actually like to make two suggestions. One is
good.
For women in particular who've never used a vibrator, and this suggestion doesn't have much to do with improving or doesn't have much to do with your partner status, whether you have a partner now or whether you don't have a partner now and you're hoping it's possible. I think it will improve your sex life in general because it will give you one more way to have an orgasm if you're already orgasmic one way to have your first orgasm if you've never had one. And that is to find a way to let yourself use a vibrator for the first time. Just give it a try. It's not a big deal to do that if you can get a hold of one. I think a really good exercise for women is to ask their friends if they have a vibrator that they'd be willing to loan them just to try it. And that in itself will open up some interesting conversations. Now, you may not be a person who feels comfortable doing that, so if you're not, then you have to buy one over the internet or in a local store if you can. Internet does provide a lot of anonymity, and buy yourself the cheapest, smallest vibrator you can find. And
do you have favorite sites that you would send a woman to on the internet?
Well, goodvibes.com that I mentioned for the book is a good one. There's another one that I highly recommend called Babeland. It used to be called Toys in Babeland, and now it's just called Babeland, BABELAND.com. And another one which I've had some involvement with, I don't know a whole lot about their current status. It's called Libida, like the word libido, but except with an A, libida.com, that's oriented particularly towards women. And there are many others. It's a welter. But those three that I've mentioned are definitely focused on women's stuff. There are a number of others that are women-focused, too. There's a store in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm quite sure that it's called A Women's Touch. I'm quite sure that they have a website, although I don't know their women's I don't know their URL. And I'm quite sure they have a significant mail order department as well.
Excellent. Okay, so one exercise was to get a vibrator and
give it a try.
What was the other idea?
The other one has to do for women with partners about who have used a vibrator either occasionally or previously, and they may or may not use it now, but by themselves, but have never used it or haven't recently raised the idea of using it with their partner. And for that, depending on how much they've told their partner about their vibrator use in the past, in any event, or whether they have or haven't, to say that they heard this wonderful podcast recently and it gave them this notion that maybe, in fact, it wouldn't be so terrible to introduce the vibrator even to what they assume will be a very reluctant partner. And if worse comes to worst, one of the things that if a partner is just really rejecting, which is possible, and I don't think likely, but if it happens, one of the things they can do is they can do the exercise of just inviting their partner to watch them use it on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really hard thing to do. I have to tell you, years ago, I had to do that as an exercise in preparation for training women, for training therapists who were going to have their clients do that. And the first time was really, really hard, but my partner enjoyed it so much that I really changed my feeling about it. And actually, the second time I did it, I remember he asked me, is there anything he could do? And I said, yes, you could play with my nipples, you could kiss me, you could stroke my back, you could do lots of things. Just keep those hands on me somewhere.
It's very intimacy encouraging.
Building, yeah. And by the same token, some women are not all that comfortable watching their partners masturbate, but I think it's fine to invite your partner to masturbate and just do that and have you watch.
I agree.
And I'm one of those people who doesn't particularly enjoy watching a man masturbate, but I don't object to it, and I'm glad to say it doesn't work the other way around. Most men really enjoy watching their partners.
You have been a terrific guest. Those are terrific suggestions. I want to thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you, Chip. It was fun.
Listeners, if you have ideas, show comments, show ideas, please feel free to send me an email, chip@personallifemedia.com. That's all one word, personallifemedia.com. Or you can actually call and leave a voicemail at 206-350-5333. If you call, please make sure you mention my name, mention my show name, Sex, Love, and Intimacy. Leave your question or your comment. Leave us a phone number or an email to get back in touch with you. And just know that if it's in the nature of an endorsement of the show, leaving a message on the machine does imply your permission for us to use that message in promotional material. Thanks for listening. This brings us to the end of another show. I hope you will listen again, but goodbye for now.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.